A preacher's preacher. Hallelujah. A saint's preacher. You're going to love the Word of God that comes from this man this morning. A praying, sincere young man, Brother Wes Westman from Carrollton, Kentucky. Would you welcome him and the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just do it unto the Lord once again today. Let's clap unto Him and shout unto God for more to triumph. Hallelujah! I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will rejoice and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the well of salvation. In that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thine inheritance of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Philippians says, wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I come today to proclaim that He is Lord, and He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be exalted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you would stand with me today, and let me just say that I am so honored to be here in this great conference. We have heard the word of the Lord this week. God has surely anointed the lips of these men that has brought to us the word of the Lord. I'll just be honest with you folks today. When I first began to preach about 10 years ago, and I'm not that old really, but I've been preaching a while, I thought, you know, to really be good, you're going to just have to try to impress folks. And man, I tried. I honestly did. I tried to say those big words and tried to impress. But the more I tried to impress folks, I found I was depressing them a whole lot more than I was impressing them. So I'm not going to try to depress you today or impress you. I just want the Lord to help us in this service. I give honor to our great Apostolic Crusaders leader, Brother Robert Martin, who is doing such a tremendous job. Amen. God has certainly blessed us with a man. I believe God has placed him in this day for such a time as this. He's a great man doing a fantastic job. We also want to give honor to our General Superintendent, Brother Johnson, the Executive Board, General Board, and just all these great men of the Lord. All my evangelist friends, I just appreciate you. You're doing a work of the Lord, and I appreciate that. Amen. If you would turn with me today to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, and I would like to read verse number 1 of the 17th chapter, and then turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, 1 Kings, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Go to chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Verse 1 again, to everything. Everybody read this together. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heavens. I believe today that it's time for revival. Amen. It's time for revival. And God is getting ready to send us a great move of His Spirit. Let's just ask His blessing to remain upon this service for the rest of the day. Lord Jesus, we love You today. We thank You for everything that has been accomplished in this great service, in this great meeting. God, I pray now that You would anoint us. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Anoint these lips of clay. We'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. So much the more in this world-changing and destiny-determined hour. In the 90s, we are to do our best in every acceptable way. We are to take faithful care of this great church. We are to look about us alertly and see how we can better guide, guard, and reinforce the truth committed to us by faithful men. We are to come side by side, heart to heart, hand to hand, each giving his very all, which means our very best for the church, for one another, and for this lost world. The Sovereign One is at work today. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of the harvest. And I am keeping my eyes on God, for all things are under my God's control. I will look unto Him. I will walk in His steps as close as I can get, whatever the cost may be. We need to let our feet walk where He has walked. We need to imitate His prayer life. He prayed many nights, all night. Being in agony, He prayed until His sweat became as great drops of blood. He arose every day before dawn. No one whose life has truly been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ is free to leave the matter there. He must, as best as he can, offer himself to be a vessel unto the Lord. In short, no person can be a Christian and avoid being an evangelist. And no person can be a Christian and avoid being an intercessor. And no person can be a Christian and avoid being a prayer warrior. No person can be a Christian and avoid being a teacher. No person can be a Christian and avoid being a flame, a torch, a salt, light, water, and bread. When we came on the scene in the book of Kings, I want you to know that there was a rottenness in the land. Cattle were dying. Nothing was growing. Famine in the land. And in the 90s, there is rottenness in the land. Amen. 70,000 children, 170,000 children see their parents divorce every single year in the United States. 120,000 teenage girls gets pregnant every year in the United States. 45,000 teenagers have abortions every year in the United States. 77,000 teens are arrested for drugs every year in the United States. 160,000 teens are arrested for drunk driving. And I said a while ago, it's time for revival. In every hour, the adversary, he has tried to doom this generation of mankind. He has worked behind the scenes to destroy the hungry and the lost. Have you ever considered, my friend, what it would be like to be in the shoes of a lost young person in the 90s with no direction of God, not knowing how to find the Lord? Thousands of voices are calling them. This generation is enslaved with confusion. But how else could they be when you consider the hypocrites that they watch, and when you consider the rips and the cons that parades around in the name of God? The ministry is viewed as a masonry prophet with his Rolls Royce, his yachts. These are the kinds of things that are hanging over the head of this generation. The educators preach evolution. The philosophers preach that God is dead. The psychologist says, just do your own thing. And then they finally stagger into a cold, a frigid atmosphere that claims to be the house of God. And a preacher stands up who apologizes to the fact that most consider God to be a has-been, that all the Bible is not true, that these things did not really happen. This is what this generation is looking at. The devil is trying to tell this generation, you might as well give up. You are hopelessly doomed. A sin is too strong. The devil is too mean. Heaven is too far. But I got a message today for this generation. There's hope for this generation, because revival's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is hope. Haggai chapter 2 says this, in the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And who? How did you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of as of nothing? And then he goes on to say later on, but thus said the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. I'm going to shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Sure, there's trouble in the world. Sure, the devil is working. But God is working, my friend. God is wanting to move. God is wanting to touch. I want to tell you today, if you don't know it, that we've been called to match an age that is the most solemn period of time in world history. And just think about it. God thought enough of you and me, everyone here today, to place us in the church in 1990. I hear people say, man, I would like to live in the days of the apostle. Man, I'd like to live in the days of Peter, James, and John. But I'm glad God put me here. I'm glad to be where I'm at. Hallelujah. Former generations has looked forward to this day. Prophets has longed to see this day. I want you to know, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing what Michelangelo did with only 3 basic colors? Isn't it amazing what Einstein did with just 10 digits? Isn't it amazing what Beethoven did with just 7 notes? But it remains to be seen what we can do with the Word, the name, and the blood. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God used one man with a jawbone of a donkey and slayed 1,000. He used one young boy with a slingshot to kill a giant. He used one ox goad to slay 600 Philistines. And he's going to use one angel to bind Satan up in chains and bound him for 1,000 years. Hell, that's the God that we're serving today. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, the Hebrew version says this, if my people over whom my name has been called. He says in Isaiah, I will work, but who shall let me? God wants to work in the 90s. God wants to send us revival in the 90s. He wants to send a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. But guess what? He is waiting on you and me. He is waiting on you and I. Notice that it was Elijah. Elijah was the one that caused it not to rain. Elijah said, according to my word, it's not going to rain until you hear from me again. Elijah had the power to shut up the heavens. Elijah had the power to cause it not to rain. And you and I, my friend, we have the power to cause it to rain or not cause it to rain. Rain develops when moisture is drawn from the earth. And when the clouds are full of moisture and they can hold no more moisture, they burst open and the rain begins to fall. My friend, when we worship the sun, when we worship Jesus, and when the heavens are full of praise, when the heavens are full of glory, hallelujahs, and they can hold no more, they're going to burst open and revival is going to come to the earth. But what's wrong with this generation? We have learned how to survive during a drought. Amen. We've learned how to make it. I feel all right now. I was a nervous wreck a while ago, but I'm feeling good. We learned how to make it during a drought. God has provided for us even though it hasn't rained. Because He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll be with you all the way. That means every circumstance, if it's raining or not, God is going to be with His church. The Lord spoke to Elijah, said, that's what it's going to be. I have prepared for you a brook. And I want you to go over there by that brook. Elijah went to the brook, and he began to drink water. And the ravens came and brought him food. Man, talk about fast food service. I mean, he had it right there. Everything I got. Why do I need revival? I've got water, and I've got food. But one day, the brook dried up. The ravens stopped. And God said, do you want rain? If not, I provided for you again. There's a woman down there. Just go down there and bake. She's going to bake you a cake. And he went down to the woman's house. And the Bible says that the woman was just gathering sticks for her son and her to eat one more meal and die. And Elijah said, I asked for some water to drink. And she said, I'll go and fetch you some. And he said, while you're at it, will you please bake me a little cake? And she said, as the Lord God liveth, I only got just enough meal, enough oil to provide for my son and myself, and we're going to die. Elijah said, that's okay, but go and do what you was going to do, but bake me a cake first. And the woman obeyed. She just went out and obeyed. Obedience will carry you a long way. She went in the house knowing that there was not enough in the barrel. Knowing the barrel was almost empty. Knowing there wasn't enough oil. But she went on, I'm going to do this because the prophet said I could do it. As she began, I could just see her getting that spoon out and just scraping the bottom of the barrel, friend. And she got a little bit of meal, but I could just see her in my mind taking that barrel and turning it upside down, knocking everything out. Getting that oil, used it, poured it all out. There's nothing left. But she went back. She had faith. After the barrel was empty, to go back, and she baked her another cake. And she'd done this every day. Not just one time, but every day as the famine lasted, she had cakes to eat. But in the famine, her son died. We've had our little patty cake services. And we've had miracles occasionally. But God wants to do so much more for us. While Elijah is living, while he is surviving, the world outside around him is dying. It's decaying. It's stinking. It's rotten. Because they don't have water. And a lost man can't live without God. And finally, God says, Elijah, go and show yourself, and I will send rain upon the earth. If the world doesn't know we're here, they'll never know we're gone. If the world don't know we're here, they'll never know we're gone. It's time we let them know we're here. It's time we let the world know you're in famine, but we got Jesus and He can help you. For years, we preached the world into hell, but now's the time to preach them out of hell. Hallelujah. Dear God, go show yourself. And I will send rain upon the earth. There's nothing more upsetting to me. And you know, you're not supposed to get upset. We got the Holy Ghost and preachers here. Not supposed to get upset. But occasionally, the most thing that upsets me the most. I was preaching a revival about 2 years ago. And, we got there kind of late. Pulled in my trailer late. Parked and service was almost started time I got ready. And the pastor said, well, we didn't get anything to eat before church, so we'll take you after church. Y'all know all about that stuff. Amen. You gotta eat after church to be Pentecostal. Amen. Repent, get baptized in Jesus' name, get the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, and eat in church. After church. And I said, okay. And he said, I think I'll take you to Jerry's. Y'all may not know what Jerry's is. It's like a Sony, something like that. But folks, they got the best hot fudge cakes that you ever ate. But they put the cherry on top. I mean, it's great. And immediately, I saw a vision. Man, I got to hurry up with this service. I'm going to go eat a hot fudge cake. Nah. And folks, I made it through the service. Here we was, shake hands real fast, everybody. We was on our way. And when we pulled in the driveway, they had a sign. I knew I was in the will of God. It said, hot fudge cakes, 99 cents. As long, you know, being as nice as I am, enjoying to eat, the waitress came by and I ordered a meal, you know. And after she came back, she smiled, and after we ate, she said, "Is there anything else y'all would like to have?" And I said, "Ma'am, I sure would like to have a hot fudge cake with a cherry on top." And she said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but we don't have any." Now, I wanted to say, now, we got the Holy Ghost and we can't do that. But I was getting upset. Folks, we went there every night that week. And every night, the little waitress came out and said, "Sir, I'm sorry, we're out." I wanted to say, "Ma'am, if it's on the menu, then why don't you got it?" Oh, hallelujah. You know what's in the menu? Oh, hallelujah. In the word of the Lord, this stuff is shouting is, talking in tongues is. And folks, if it's in the menu, the church needs to have it. Hallelujah. We need to have it. If they don't know we're here, they'll never know we're gone. It's time the apostolic crusaders let the world know there's some young people that loves God. There's some young people that's going to go all the way. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Elijah showed himself to Ahab. Then he says, gather all the people together. And he said, "How long can we halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, let's serve Him." Amen, folks. It's really time to serve the Lord. Amen. We talk about a whole lot of things, but the 90s demands more than just talk. It means producing. It means revival. It means the Holy Ghost overflow. They sacrifice. They pray to their God that did not hear them. They pray to a God that did not make them feel any better. They pray to a God that frustrated them. They got so upset that they begin to cut themselves with knives. Cutting their wrists. Going to die. You cut your wrist, you'll die. These folks were so frustrated with the God that they decided to serve, we would just rather die than feel the way we feel. And the world, my friends, committing suicide so rapidly. They're frustrated. They tried alcohol. They tried drugs. They tried different things. And nothing helps. And they get frustrated and kill themselves. They're looking for the rain. Here it comes. Verse 29. When midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Friend, we've come to the evening time. Amen. And it's time to sacrifice. It's time to sacrifice. It's time we say, as Isaac did, "Dad, we got wood and we got fire, but where is the sacrifice? We got all this great music. We got all this great facilities. But now the time for the sacrifice." You see, the fire has got to fall before the rain comes. It's got to burn away everything that's not like God. It's got to consume our wicked thoughts. It's got to consume our wicked desires. And that we depend upon Jesus more than anything else. Then Elijah hears this, a sound. Everybody say, he heard a sound. That was rushy, mighty wind. No one else heard the sound. But Elijah has tuned his ears unto heaven. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. Something in my soul telling me we're getting ready to have a gully washer. And he tells Ahab, "Just get up, eat, and drink." But he went to Mount Carmel. And he put his face towards the ground. And he told his servant, "Brother, would you stand up right now? Come here. Come here real fast." He told his servant, "I want you to go look toward the sea. Run back there. Run. Dear God, hurry." "Now, that's good enough. Come on back. Come on. My land, he's going to run to China. Run, run." And he came back. "What'd you see?" And he said, "What?" "Nothing." "Nothing." Elijah said, "Go again. Run back." That's good. Come on. Come on. Come on. "Dear Lord, I got an hour and a half to preach in 20 minutes. I got to hurry. Come here. What'd you see? Go again." That's right. So many times. That's good. Come on back. So many times we go to church with that attitude. There ain't nothing going to happen. It's just Wednesday night. It's just our regular service. But friends, the Holy Ghost is telling us we need to go again. We need to look one more time. We need to keep on going. Hallelujah. And came back and said, "What? Nothing. Go again." Telling you folks, "Well, Brother Westerman, I lifted my hand and I didn't feel anything. We sung that one song, I didn't feel nothing." Well, folks, we need to raise our hands again. We need to sing again. Keep on going! Keep on going! Nothing. Go back. Elijah was saying this, "You go look for your sign if you need one, but I know the rain's coming. I know the rain's coming. It's going to come. Keep on going till you're nothing. Become something. Keep on worshiping until God sends rain." He came back the seventh time. Said, "Elijah, thank you." He said, "Elijah, I seen a cloud." Oh, tell you folks, hold that cloud right there. The Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. How many got the Holy Ghost? It's the greatest thing that can ever happen. I remember 11 years ago, my wife's out here somewhere, and I love her. 11 years ago, before I ever met her, you know, I decided to go to camp meeting. And folks, I tell you what, I was just an ornery, rotten sinner. And the only reason I went to this camp meeting was not to check out Jesus, but to check out the girls that was going. But I want you to know, the very first night, there was a black minister preaching there named Brother Reed. And he preached, "For in Him we live, we have our being. Can't nobody do me like Jesus." Folks, I ran down to the altar. And I began to call upon the name of the Lord. And He forgave me of my sins. I prayed for an hour and a half that night. Didn't get the Holy Ghost. "Dear God, what's wrong with me?" Prayed an hour and a half. The pastor came up to me and said, "Wes, would you like to get baptized tonight?" I said, "Nah, not tonight." Because I done checked out the baptistry they was going to use. It was an old horse trough. I forget that. I'll go home and get baptized in a baptistry. And he said, "Okay." I went back there the second night. And I prayed. Prayed for 2 hours. I didn't get the Holy Ghost. Pastor came up to me. He said, "Wes, would you like to get baptized tonight?" I said, "No, not tonight. Maybe when I get home or something." I went back the third night. After all, I done repented. I done prayed 2 nights. I didn't get the Holy Ghost. I thought there was something definitely wrong. You people used to stay until they get it, folks. Now if they don't get it in 10 minutes, they go home and check out another night. Amen. God, if you can't do it in 10 minutes, I'll come back tomorrow. Amen. It's truth. I know it. I went back to the altar the third night and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I was getting desperate.
desperation done struck my heart. And I went and found Pastor. I said, Pastor, I can't wait. Will you baptize me tonight? In Jesus' name. I went to the baptistry. I went to the horse trough. And folks, if you're ever going to go to a camp meeting, they're going to baptize in the horse troughs, go get baptized the first night. Because bugs done landed in that water. Looks like gangrene done set in. I said, dear God, I know I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Because going down this water is such a great sacrifice. And I prayed. That's what didn't happen. Went back to the dorm room. It was about 12:30 at night. And I was ready for bed. Had my shirt off, my shoes off, my britches off. I was ready to go to bed. Some folks came in there, some other boys said, we're going to have a Bible study tonight. And I didn't know a whole lot. But we had a Bible study for about an hour and a half. It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. They said, well, we're just going to kneel down here and pray a good night prayer before we go to sleep. And folks, I've been praying this prayer for 15 years. It's the only good night prayer I knew. And I knelt down there. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I please pray, dear Lord, my soul to take. And I want you to know the Holy Ghost fell in that room and I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave the utterance. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost will make a difference in your life.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, I'm feeling it. You better sit down just for a minute. I'm almost done, I think. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And I'm not being critical or judgmental today at all. Please don't take me wrong. But about a year later, had an aunt came to me. Said, Wes, guess what happened to me last night? Now, folks, I'm not being critical, but this woman would have made Jezebel look like a saint. So it got quiet. And she said, guess what happened to me last night? I said, what? She said, I received the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, congratulations. That's good. And she said, well, I suppose you're doubting. I didn't say a word. She said, I just want to tell you right now, I feel like I had just about what I had on last night when the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit. I had just about the same uniform, the same clothes on. I looked the same way. And I feel like that He wouldn't have gave me the Holy Spirit with all this on if it wasn't right. And I said, but I beg your pardon. Because when I got the Holy Ghost, I had no shoes on, had no socks on, had no britches on, had no shirt on. But before I went outside, I put some clothes on. The Holy Ghost will make a difference. Hallelujah. It'll change you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You be seated. I'm trying to hurry. Amen. Visions. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all going to shout in a minute. I can just tell you. The Holy Ghost is great. You never experienced anything like it. But listen to what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. In whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Ghost is not our inheritance. It just puts us into the family of God and gets us ready to receive the inheritance. My wife knows these two young ladies. One of them is about 25. The other one's about 27. Their aunt passed away. And she had, folks, just a bunch of bucks. She had a bunch of money. And she left all of her money to her brother, which happened to be these girls' father. And the will stipulated that if anything would happen to him, these girls would receive the remainder of the estate. Well, about 8 months later, he died. But the will also stipulated that they had to be 40 years old. The lawyer said, there's no way you can touch your inheritance. But the bank will pay you the interest of your inheritance. And folks, every single month, these young ladies receive $4,000 apiece. Now, I don't know about your lifestyle in which wherever you may live, but this old Kentucky boy could live pretty good on $4,000 a week.
Yeah,
a month. I can live much more abundantly. But that's not their inheritance. That is only the interest of their inheritance. They won't receive their inheritance until they're 40 years old. Listen to this. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The interest. As great as the Holy Ghost is, when we get to heaven, that's going to be a whole lot more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But He gave us more than enough to get by on. By strong, He gave us enough to live and live much more abundantly. And I'm closing. Would you stand? Would you stand? The Bible says, that one generation shall praise the Lord unto another.